Oh, hey, what's up? It's me, Marcel, your film set guide, big brother, and guiding hand through episode 6 of Giving Credits. This week, we hung out with Sarah Dorian, who is a makeup artist slash makeup department head. She's been involved in several TV shows and movies. She did the makeup for our full-length feature, The Way You Look Tonight. And more recently, she did Megalodon, which will be out in theaters August 31st and stars Michael Madsen. If you could please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, that helps us pop up more frequently and show up on the up-and-coming list, which would help put us on the map. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as Giving Credit. I do want to mention a small content warning here. We do go into a topic that briefly references an experience regarding sexism, harassment, slash mistreatment that she witnessed on a set that she worked on. There are no graphic details, but if you do want to skip it, we go into it at around 25 minutes or so and stop at about 32 minutes. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's give some credits. So, we're here with Sarah Dorian, who is a makeup artist. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're here in your studio. You were so gracious to let us use it. Thank you so much.
Of course.
So let's get right into it. What's a makeup artist?
Well, a makeup artist is someone who applies makeup to the faces of actors or characters.
Yeah. Right.
And kind of makes them beautiful or ugly or whatever it needs to be to like tell the story of this character. So we bring characters to life.
Cool.
Yeah.
How'd you start doing that?
So I got started from working as a set PA, actually, which for me was kind of the best way to get into makeup because I was working on this union show and I was, you know, doing the PA work. Like, you're the bitch of the set. Like, you're taking out the trash.
Right.
Like, you're, you know, cleaning up whatever. But sometimes you can get cool jobs where you're a little bit more on set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was working on a union show as a set PA, and I would always go up to the makeup trailer and, you know, bring them their breakfast and, yeah, like, talk to them, and was kind of like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want this job.
So you knew going in, like, I want to be a makeup artist.
Yes. Like, but I wanted to work in film. And so for me, the only way to really get in was to be like, I need to work on set. I need to get in somehow. So I had a couple of friends that were like, here, got me a few PA jobs. And then from there, I kind of just went for it.
Yeah. So you were on set, you were talking to makeup artists, were you asking them questions or?
Yeah. So every chance I got, I was just, you know, talking to the girls. I mean, not too much, but they knew that I wanted that position. And, you know, I would have lunch with them and just talk to them, and really cool women that I really look up to now that still have helped me like get to where I am. And on this job, I was like, working as the PA, like doing all the PA stuff, and I kind of knew the pecking order of set. And so there was a day where they're like, the makeup girls needed an assistant like really bad, and of course being in production, they're like, we don't have the budget for that. And they were like, well, can we have Sarah, like she'll work for her PA rate and blah 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 and like whatever. So they're like, yeah, fine, like let's. Okay, yeah. So I got to be like on set, so I got to have the set bag. I got to hang out with them all morning and like help them do makeup and kind of just watch them get everyone through the works. And then I was on set, so I got the vibe from everyone on set, like, okay,
hell yeah,
you know, she just got bumped up like pretty, pretty hard. But from there on out, those girls kind of just kept passing me jobs and were like bringing me on as their assistant and like getting me all this experience. So I was still sort of PAing a little bit, but I started getting, you know, little short films or smaller end kind of stuff. Like, I just sort of, I don't know, like, kept going with makeup and just stopped PAing. I got to a point where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've paid my dues in that respect.
Right.
And I'm right, like, this is my crew position. Like, this is what I want to do.
Nice. Can you tell me what's in a set bag for a makeup artist? I'm guessing basic stuff, but...
Oh, on my set bag? Well, every set bag, you need to have 99% alcohol.
Okay.
At all times. This is a must have.
Okay.
But basically, yeah, sometimes the set bag has like different people's stuff. So I have different characters on set. And so you have, you know, blah, blah, blah's bag with their brush and their powder, whatever. And so, Set Bag has all of your necessities, hand sanitizer, hairspray, alcohol,
okay,
bobby pins,
yeah,
any kind of little last minute touches, and then personal people's kind of little things,
specific
for them.
Things,
yeah,
yeah. And can you tell people what that's called when
last looks?
Yeah, I think people like knowing the set lingos and terminology and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, so last looks. Like, yeah. Last looks is my call from the AD, the first AD generally. We'll call last looks, and that's when I go on and just check all my actors and make sure they're not shiny, or if the blood is good, or,
yeah,
you know, whatever little touches need to happen, sweat, grease, depending on the movie.
Yeah, and you usually stay at Video Village or wherever everybody else is, right? Like, yeah, watching to make sure. I'm guessing, like, if you need to tell the AD, like, oh, hey, I need to fix that.
Yeah, so my job is mostly to stay at Video Village. Sometimes I'm, like, going crazy, getting, like, 9 people through the works, and then I'm, like, rushed up to set, and I'm hanging at Video Village. But mostly, yeah, I just sit. I'm kind of, like, right with the director, like, watching the monitor and just looking for any little thing. So when they call last looks, like, I'm right there.
Okay, cool. I think that's so interesting. Like, a lot of people don't know that. I think a lot of people, when they imagine what set is like, they don't think about these positions, which is obviously the point of the podcast. I think that's interesting to know what are these positions that are there with the director.
So yeah, I mean, it's a huge job. Like, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about directing, and like, you get to be there right with the DP, and like, you know, you become really involved with the lighting and the way it's going to work with your makeup. And, you know, I mean, I break down my script and I know these characters really well, just,
yeah,
as so when I'm with the director, like, watching it all come to life, it's really, really awesome. Like, it's a, and I'm the first person on set usually with, yeah, the actors, and I'm kind of like, you know, getting them ready and getting them into that character. So a lot of the times they're running lines, and a lot of times, you know, we create a really strong bond. So the actors are usually coming to me with, like,
yeah,
all of the stuff, and you become like part therapist, part, you know, all, yeah, all kinds of stuff on set. Like, I have some crazy stories where I've been doing things that are just not my job, but it feels really good to just know that, like, somehow, yeah, it was the right, like, person to have me as their makeup artist, and like, just make things work really, really good. And
yeah, can you go more into that, maybe as a time specifically where?
Yeah, I mean, actually, there was one movie that I was working on, and we had like a really young girl as one of the characters, and she had kind of confided in me in the makeup chair that she was just going through some real personal stuff, some really deep stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm a professional and I don't cross boundaries, but when this kind of stuff's like happens, you know, I'm gonna be there at least to talk. And so, yeah, you know, she had some kind of times on set where she was having like a breakdown and she started to cry, and, you know, no one was really doing anything, and her mom was there too. So
yeah,
I was just standing by, I was kind of fanning her and gave her hugs and just, you know, was really like there to calm her down and, you know, obviously wipe the tears. And,
yeah,
you know, the director is waiting, the DP is waiting, like, lights are, you know, cameras set, and, you know, this little girl's like, she's not ready. So it's, yeah, like, it's not quite my job, but in a way it's like someone's got to be there to do stuff like that sometimes. And so it's really special and kind of, it can be intense, and you don't, like, I was worried, like, oh man, am I not doing my job? Like, I'm,
right,
you know, I could be working on other people, but I just felt like it was the, yeah, right thing to do, like, to get her to set. 'Cause like, I become really attached. Like, these are my actors. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. And
these
some
are my
of them
people. Yeah.
Become like friends, basically.
Of course. Yeah. A lot of them become friends. But that was an instance where I was like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but it feels like the right thing. And actually afterwards, I had a few people come up and they're like, oh, it was really nice what you did. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, thank God. Okay. I'm not crazy. 'Cause
you're like second guessing, of course. Like, there's a lot of things happening. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone's on trying to do their job fast. Like, you're working on a set and,
yeah,
it's very fast paced, and, you know, everyone's trying to make the 12-hour day and,
right,
squeeze it in, and it gets crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, if the actor or actresses are, if they're not comfortable and they're not able to do their job, I mean, it shouldn't fall on you, but if it does, it's good that you're capable and caring enough to be able to do that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a part of the job that I really love, because,
okay,
I taught music for my whole like life before.
Yeah.
working on set. So it's like some, I don't know, just being able to connect with people and have like this different vibe that I'm not, you know, the typical makeup artist that people would maybe imagine. Like, I love to make films. Like it's, yeah, it's a different job for me.
Totally.
So yeah, connecting with people and just being able to help when I can feels really, it's a good feeling. And
what do you, we kind of went into one of my questions, which is what do you like most about it? What do you like least about the job?
Well, what I like least about the job really is, you know, sometimes I think that being in the film industry, it's like everybody wants to get to the top and everybody wants to do their best. And sometimes that means like stepping on other people or like not treating people fully respectful. And by that, I mean like the PAs getting like, you know, a lot more kind of shit than the rest of the crew. And I think that that job is really, really important. And I think sometimes people can get on power trips on set. And I think it's really destructive. And I think that kind of is like, I just have a really big like heart for people, especially when I see women PAing.
Yeah.
I know that they want to do something bigger and everyone is just working towards this goal of like doing something. So it's like, these people are bringing you water. Like they're doing like amazing stuff and taking the trash out and like running this set. You know what I mean? And they arrive first and they leave last. And I've just seen like a lot of disrespect towards that side of the crew. And like, that's something that I hate and I really want to change. So working with people that are just like awesome and like diplomatic and like producers that are diplomatic and not necessarily the nicest guy ever, but like smart and awesome. I think nice and fake is, you know, a different thing. Like you can be nice and fake, but you can be real and like really kind, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think kind is like a really good word for that.
Exactly. Like being kind and diplomatic versus being nice and, you know, fake and not treating people, you know, treating people one way in front of this top producer and then treating somebody another way when you think no one hears you.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I've seen a lot because I'm, you know, I see the crew and I see the actors and I see, you know, I see, I see everything.
You would think that people wouldn't be like that just because, I don't know. I mean, I've been on set a lot and I've produced. I don't forget my roots. It's, I don't know. I don't know if it's a question of like getting a big head or I don't know how people get to that point. Mind boggling to me, but
it is, but it happens.
Yeah.
The sad thing I feel about it is that there's like something must have happened that made people that way. And like, you have to kind of get, I don't know, try to see it in a different light and just be like, get along with everyone anyways.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, I work with like really amazing people that I love, that I like create friendships with.
Right. Can you give us an average day on set for you? What that's like from like when you get there?
Well, my average day on set is wake up at, well, let's say I have a 7 a.m. call. Mm-hmm. I wake up at 5. Take a shower.
Right.
Get myself ready because, you know, hello, I'm the makeup artist.
Yeah.
I want to look like decent, not full face, but, you know, I'll get ready, put my makeup on, like have my morning. I always go drink a coffee at home and then I go to Starbucks. So, you know, I'm usually arrive on set a little bit early, go set up my stuff and I'm just get my sides, look at the sides. Usually I have kind of an idea from the day before what's going to happen, but look, read the sides, kind of see who's coming in first and look at the schedule and then just start working. So usually when it's just me, it's like maybe I'll have 5 actors in, so I'm just kind of back to back to back to back, and then once everyone's through the full works, then I just head to set and like pack my bag and then pretty much hang out on set and watch the monitor and do touch-ups as they come, and that's pretty much my job. Most of my heavy work is usually in the morning, unless, you know, we have...
Yeah. So in the beginning of the day, you get them ready, and I guess depending on the project sometimes, or the scene, sometimes it might require a lot of work on them, sometimes it might not require too much, but do you ever need to, like, bring them back to normal at the end of the day, like... If they're like crazier.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. If you do like a full prosthetic makeup or like a huge, like, you know, look with, you know, wigs and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You have to remove all of that before you leave.
Does that take a long time or?
It depends on the job or on what it is, but not too long usually. And most of my jobs lately have been more like dramas or like I just recently wrapped a movie from the Sharknado company, The Asylum.
Okay.
And it's called The Megalodon, and it's coming out on Sci-Fi.
Nice.
During Sharknado week.
Oh, cool.
That was a really cool movie because it was all military looks. So all the makeup for the women was, you know, it was still like a good face of makeup, but it was like really kind of just a natural, like matte makeup, like no makeup look. And then these like sleek military hairs. So yeah, there was just a lot of cast members, and it was actually just a really fun movie to work on. We were shooting on a ship in San Pedro.
Oh, nice.
Every day. So it became like the crew was kind of like shipmates by the end of the movie, and that was really awesome.
That's funny. Okay. So are there differences between doing makeup for a film specifically versus like a look that you would just to go out, for example? Would those two looks be different?
Totally. Totally different.
Yeah.
And the reason why is definitely because of lighting. But a lot of the time, like, when you're going out, you're going to be really like powdered and like, you know, you're going to be out probably dancing. It's probably going to be dark. So you can do a lot more makeup. But on film, you know, nowadays we're all shooting in 4K and even higher now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like if you look really cakey, you can really see it. So you can see different things. So the idea is to get the most flawless look you can and, you know, go for the really airbrushed look. And we, you know, we have techniques and things we do to make it look, you know, perfect for camera. But yeah, it's very different.
So there's specific techniques. Are there specific products as well that like you probably would never use for a night going out versus like for a set? Or is it all basically the same?
I mean, it just all depends on kind of how you apply, because I mean, the makeup possibilities are endless. Like you can, you know, there's creams and powders and colors and pigments and textures. Like there's everything. Like it's just, I use all kinds of stuff when I'm going out and when I'm on set, and all the makeup is the same, but it's just kind of more the techniques. And like, there's definitely certain key products that I'll use on set, but only because it's going to apply to like many people. So I'll generally keep the same foundation brand. I use Makeup Forever, the HD line, and I love that. I get really good results with that. And there's certain primers and certain like things that I use that I'm like, these are my set things, versus like, you know, certain things that I would use at home or on like a private client for like maybe, you know, a red carpet look or something like that.
So I'm guessing like someone who wants to be a makeup artist but they've never done it on set, maybe they have little experience with it, just having the basic knowledge of doing makeup like in the real world doesn't 100% apply. Like you need to know specifically for like lights and all that.
Yeah, you definitely need to know, and you definitely need, there's a lot of things, I don't know, there's a lot of little tricks and tips and techniques that you'll just pick up along the way that are like little signature things that you might do that other people don't do, or like that you saw someone else do that you're like, oh, I love this, and this is something I'm gonna start incorporating into my like routine. But essentially, like for me, skincare is like number one. I'm like crazy about it, so I always try to get the best skincare and do as many like amazing product requests rights as I can for each project that I work on.
Can you tell me more about product requests?
Yeah, so when I get a movie, like if it's a really good movie, let's say like, I don't know, something small but pretty good would be like a Lifetime film, or the one I just worked on for The Asylum, it's like kind of well known. And if I, certain companies like MAC and Makeup Forever, they will fulfill wish lists for your movie. So you can get a ton of free makeup if they approve your list. And, you know, you just have to write them emails and reach out and tell them about your project, send them the script, send them, you know, whatever they need kind of verification wise to like see who you are and see what you're up to, and they'll sponsor your movie. And it's a really, really good way to fill your kit with foundation and things that cost so much money that nobody realizes, honestly. How much, you know, people want to pay you, you know, little tiny fee, but makeup is really expensive. And it's really important to use good stuff when you're working on set. And these people are wearing this makeup for 12 hours, like their skin's going to start to break out if you're using something bad. And then that's going to show up on set later. Like, if, you know, so for continuity, like it's really important for the skin to be really well taken care of and for everything to be very clean and for you to use good products, honestly.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. I mean, And it's different because, like, you can buy a camera and that'll probably last you years, but makeup is something that you're constantly re-upping the more you use it, obviously. So what advice would you offer someone who's considering your career path?
Well, I would say to go work as a PA. If you want to do makeup for film, you should at least once, I did a bunch, go and see what it's like to be on a set and what it takes. Because if you want to work, because I have a lot of family members that are like, why don't you go work, you know, at a makeup counter? And I'm like, no, because I want to like make movies. Like, it's not just about applying makeup. It's about like my contribution to the, you know, the entire creation of this like piece of film that we're creating. Yeah. And so like it's a whole like team effort making this like piece of art. So my advice for anyone trying to get into the film world is to, start from the bottom and just see what it takes, because even though you're not going to be like that crew position, you still have to wake up really, really early and you still have to be there for 12 hours and be like on your A game and like, you know, fine being there and like try to keep your spirits up, because it's hard. Like it's long, long days and it's kind of a grueling thing, but it's really fun when you know, you can do this project and you can work, you know, 18 days in a row, and then you're kind of free. You're not like locked into this 9-to-5 and, right. You know, it takes kind of crazy people to make movies.
I mean, that's true. Totally.
Like, I think we're all crazy. I'm like, where there's always drama, there's always this, there's always that. And then at the end of the day, everyone's like, oh, it's amazing. I love all of you so much. And that's what I think is really fun. It's like, we're all like a little bit kind of crazy. We don't fit the mold of like the 9-to-5ers. And I mean, I certainly don't. Yeah. Everyone I work with in film, it's like, they don't quite make it in that world. And
you go crazy.
You go crazy. And this is a thing where you go really hard. You kind of run yourself into the ground sometimes, but then the outcome is amazing. And like, eventually, you know, you can do really well. You can be really successful financially in this job and you can have a little bit more freedom and more creative freedom.
Yeah.
I think in your life, which for me is really important.
Yeah, definitely. So you have a big say, you work with the directors closely, typically to like have that character come to life. Do you give a lot of your input on what you think or just like your ideas, or do you just kind of like go with what they want?
It really depends on the director and the script and the movie and like how, you know, how they feel and how my connection to them is and, you know, what the characters are. But for the most part, I mean, I definitely give my input, but usually, like, most of the directors I work with, like, within the guidelines of the character, like, I'm usually pretty free to, like, create the look that I think is best. And so far, I've had no issues with, like, what I come up with. And that makes me feel pretty good.
Awesome. They never tell you something to do or not do that you're, okay, I'll do it, but, like, this is stupid or anything like that?
Sometimes there's times where I really want to do a certain thing, and there's not time, and it's not my fault that there's not time, but the crew is rushing really fast and they're like, no, we're not going to make the shot. They're like, it's fine. And they kind of push me aside and I'm like, no, like that doesn't look right. Especially when it comes to like wounds and cuts, when we're doing like a fight scene or something like that. And I want to make it look perfect, because when it's on a big screen, you know, you might not see it on the monitor, but you will see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
There's little things where sometimes you're rushed and I wish that I could fix it.
Yeah, they'd give you more time.
Yeah, but it's just the nature of film. So you just have to be on top of your game, I guess. That's the thing. You have to work fast in film and good.
Yeah, exactly. You can't drop the ball for speed.
Yeah, and you can't have production waiting on makeup.
Like,
it's just not acceptable.
That sucks. But I mean, and it is such an important part, because if the look doesn't work, then the scene, I don't know, it loses a part of itself, right?
Yeah, and if the actor doesn't feel like they look right, like, for example, if the actor's coming out of the ocean or they're coming out of a bath and they're like, oh, just spray the hair a little bit. It's like, no, they need to be soaking wet so that they feel like they're this character.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things where timing-wise, this can be this, but...
Do you want me to go into a specific thing that you're itching to talk about?
I am, but I like don't want to get too like.
Because I remember silly. There was something that happened that you were like.
I know, and that I was like fired up. When I talked to you, I was like on no sleep. I was headed to the job, like I was like driving. I was like, I'm gonna text Marcel. I just chugged a coffee and I was like coming from set. Like I'd been up since 5, got off. It was like 8 p.m. And I was like, I gotta drive to San Diego, wake up, go to set. Okay, so what happened really was that the first AD was a complete fucking asshole. And he was a dick. And he was like, you know, I'm there in a lot of different places where he's not necessarily paying attention. But he would do things that were so sexist and so just like awful. And I kept seeing them happen. And then the moment somebody, you know, one of the guys, one of the producers would walk up or the director, he would change. And he would turn into a different guy. And I saw him just really treat one of the most hardworking women on set. She was a PA, but she was, you know, one of the director's people. And she was amazing. And it just really bothered me that she was being treated, like, poorly. And I feel like maybe if she looked a different way or, like, was more his type or something different, or, like, she wouldn't have been treated that way. And, like, it made me feel, like, really sad inside that a lot of people turn a blind eye to like seeing people be treated like shit when we're all like, we're all here working together. Like this all functions because of all of us. Like, and
if any of us were being treated that way, we would want someone to step in,
to step up to the plate. Yeah. And so, I mean, all I could do for her was like, tell her, hey, like, I see you, like, take a small break. You're okay. Like, let me give you a hug. Let me like, you know, give you some love and like be empowered by another woman right now and know that like you're seen and that like you can take a break and you can go to the bathroom and like that's okay. And like sometimes like people don't choose to see people. And like that was something that, you know, I don't know if it was the long days being there all day or if I'm an emotional, sensitive person, but like it really got to me. And like I just want to see people being treated with respect, and I can't stand it. And I just saw some things that were not good.
I think it's important that we bring up the things that we see, because like a director is usually shielded from everything, you know what I mean? Like,
so after all of this stuff happened, you know, I was actually really like kind of scared that like I was gonna be, you know, I was really hurt, and I had, you know, talked about it a little bit on set, just like how it affected me. And you know, on one of the last days of shooting, the director came up to me and he was like, I need to speak with you. And I was like, okay, you know, I hope everything's fine. And he was like, hey, like, I heard what happened with this person on set, the girl who was being, you know, not treated quite fairly. And he was like, and I just want to let you know, you can come to us anytime. And, you know, this is not okay. And it really made me feel really good that there are people and men that will, you know, step up to the plate and like not ignore this kind of like treatment of people.
Yeah.
And especially of women in a workplace that is really, it is male dominated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of things are, most industries really are. Makeup in particular is not, but being on set and being in the film industry, it really is. And it can be really hard, but like women, you know, we work just as hard.
We
work the same hours and it's just as gnarly, and sometimes we're on our periods and we're still going hard, you know?
Right,
what I
exactly
mean? That's just what it is. So I think women, I think most women on set have each other's back. I've not met many women wardrobe, whoever, which is usually the other women on set are usually the wardrobe department. Sometimes there's other like directors and all kinds of jobs. But the sad thing is, like, you mostly work with female wardrobe and makeup artists. Yeah. And, you know, I've worked with female directors and all kinds of
like,
positions. But, yeah, for the most part, it's a lot of men.
And it's a lot of stuff that men don't deal with, obviously. Like, I haven't, you know, had to deal with a lot of those issues. But I always try to keep an eye out, you know. And, like, I would never want that happening on my set. Obviously. And it sucks, but a lot of producers and a lot of first ADs, a lot of people, they don't tell the director what's happening. Sometimes the director is like an executive producer. You know, sometimes, every project is different. The boss is usually the producer or the executive producer, sometimes the director, but they'll either tell one of them something that's going on and they'll, you know, if it's serious enough or depending on who's listening, hopefully it gets resolved. But yeah, it just sucks when it's not told to the right person or it doesn't go down the line and helps everybody out, you know?
Yeah. Well, when it comes down to it, you know, most producers I've met, they always say at the end of the day, like, why did nobody come to me? Like, why did no one say anything? I'm like, because, like, honestly, women have been trained and kind of like made to just keep quiet. And people in general have been trained to just like turn a blind eye when they see things happening. But I think overall, if people can just, you know, look for these things, and when they see something, just say something so that everyone can be in like a really just like a happy, loving environment. Because for the most part, like, set is that, like,
yeah,
you become a family really fast and you guys bond real fast and you're together 12 hours, sometimes pretty much more. And then you go to sleep for like maybe 5 hours and you're back with them. So it's like, it's really important to just treat each other with just respect and like love each other. It doesn't matter if you have differences, just like give some love and just, you know, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're all making art, and that's what's, you know, makes it awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's a hard thing to move from to another topic though, you know what I mean?
I know.
But it's important, and I think that's, there needs to be a dialogue about everything, and that way people are aware, and whenever you're on set, people know, like, okay, you know what, like, I'm aware about this, and if something happens, like, I'm not gonna stand for it, because that person that did that stuff, no one's gonna want to work with that person. And if nothing happens to that person and they don't change, they could turn a lot of people away from those jobs. It might be a PA's first day and then they stop working, and then that could have been the next director or makeup artist that would have, you know, made an awesome movie that we would have missed out on, or worse situations too. Like, if that, they take that home.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody, you know, everyone has a goal. And if they're working in film, like, generally their goal is to be an artist in some respect, or to just like make something amazing, like whether it's producing, directing, you know, the lighting, the gaffers, whatever it is, like sound, like it's all like everyone's kind of has like this really beautiful goal of like making a film.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's something that should be really respected and kind of nurtured, because all these people are creative beings and they're sensitive, and they're all being thrown together in this big crazy pot, and it's like, yeah, like, go time.
Yeah.
And that can cause just a lot of like emotions in general, and people get high, and like, you know, like it goes up and down. Like on day five, you know, the energy is real different from day one, or absolutely, like after the off day, like the energy is really different. So it's like, for people just need to be in tune, you know what I mean? Like, be in tune. And that's why I love doing makeup on set, because I feel like I can still be a little, you know, I can still bring my essential oils, and I can still, you know, bring a little bit of like peace to the set in a way. Like,
yeah.
And yeah.
Totally. I like that. What would you say is the best career decision you've ever made?
I think the best career decision I've made is just saying yes to everything. Even when it's like something I'm like, oh, like I'm really not getting paid enough, but like, it's cool. It's like, I end up meeting somebody or having some connection happen that I'm like, oh man, this is so great. Like, I lost one really high paying job and ended up getting a different job that was low paying, but I ended up working with like the most amazing crew, which was the crew I met you on.
Oh, okay,
and,
cool.
Yeah. And I actually like dodged a huge bullet. Like, I made, you know, I made less money, and that's okay, but I met like really great people, and like the experience was just so nice, and like it made me feel really like good of working with these like young, inspired, like awesome people, like a lot of UCLA students, and it was really a good experience versus like this high paying job where it would have been just not as creative, and I mean, just different. So sometimes, you know, you have to sacrifice some things to get to a higher place, essentially.
In the end. I totally feel that.
Yeah.
Nice. What would you say is the worst career decision you've ever made?
I've made so many. Okay. Well, one is I actually took a job in France.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, of course, like, I met this producer woman in LA, and she was like, yes, I'm shooting this movie. It's in Saint-Tropez. It's going to be so amazing. It's set in the 60s.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, do you want to work on this? Like, and I was like, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Saint-Tropez, like, France? Yeah. So I went to go do this movie, and it turned out it was a complete disaster. I ended up getting trapped in a house in Saint-Tropez with a crew that had no food and no way to leave the house. So I was just trapped in a house in Saint-Tropez for 3 days, and then eventually got saved by my friend who was a swimwear designer, and she saved me and drove me back to Marseille where she lives, and I ended up leaving. But the movie was real big mistake. I spent a lot of money kind of trying to do something that I thought would be really beneficial to my career. And, you know, it turned out to be a crazy life lesson and a crazy story for the books. But, you know, I escaped.
That's insane to me.
And escaped this crazy film crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my biggest mistake.
And I mean, it's hard to call it a mistake, to be fair. It's not like you messed up and it's not like you could have known any better, right? Because it, from what I understand of the story, like...
Well, I had a bad feeling. And I had two friends that were working on the film, and they were going to do hair and also makeup as well. And they're like, you know, we just have a really bad feeling. Like, we don't want to go. And I was like, well, you know, I don't have the money to not go anymore. Like, I have to go. So they decided to travel and I decided to go. And that was, you know, the biggest mistake. I should have stayed with them, but I basically got kind of kidnapped in France for a small amount of time, and
that's
ended
insane.
Up saving the lead actor who they had locked in a room in this villa. I ended up like Google mapping him, finding the lead actor who was playing the role of Jimi Hendrix in the movie, and like saving Jimi Hendrix and ruining their movie. I destroyed their movie. I took the lead character. We escaped. And it was done.
And I know this is a very serious topic, but I also want everyone to know that I want the rights to this story to like make it into a movie. I want to produce that movie.
Yes.
It's just insane.
Okay, it's insane. It's insane. I wasn't like held against my will, but I was stuck in a place.
Well, sort
with
of,
no,
right?
Yeah, basically. Stuck in a place with nowhere to go in the middle of the mountains in Saint-Tropez, up on a hill.
Yeah, with like probably no service.
No service, no way to get an Uber. There's no Uber. There's just country roads.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just stuck there and expected to work.
I just, it's crazy to me.
It's a wild, long story.
Yeah.
But that was one of my biggest, you know, kind of, I guess I don't really regret it at all, but it was a career choice that... You know, be smart when you choose to do things. Don't just like think everything is a romanticized, amazing thing. People will offer you crazy jobs when you're starting out, and it's good to say yes to most things, but not everything.
Well, I'm glad that you're here and you're safe, and we're doing this podcast now, because it's just mind blowing to me. Is that movie out? Have you seen anything about it?
No, that movie. I shut the movie down.
Yeah.
I actually ended up running into the director
at
a screening in L.A. The director was actually from L.A., but he spoke perfect French and was, you know, I didn't know whose side he was on with the production, because the production was the weird family.
Yeah.
And I actually ran into him at a screening for this Russian documentary for a family friend who was in this documentary about rock and roll music. And I ran into the director, and I hadn't seen him since I escaped from that house. And I, you know, called him out, and I was like, hey, like,
what was that?
What's up, man?
Right.
And he gave me some information and said that, like, the producers are suing him, and it's like this whole story, and they were ruining his life, etc. But who really knows? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's tough to know in that case.
It's just really hard to know. All I know is I escaped, and I didn't, you know, I left some makeup behind, but
yeah, that's
whatever.
Replaceable, and like, yeah. Fuck.
My life is crazy.
Your life is crazy. You have so many stories.
I have a lot of stories.
How do you make your decision, especially now with your experiences?
Well, I mean, I just kind of take everything as it comes, and mostly, it, like, if I'm open, if I'm free, if I like the script, and if I, like, want the job, yeah, I just take it.
Okay.
And sometimes depends on, you know, if my dog will be alone for a long period of time. But
right.
Generally, yeah, it just depends on how I feel. I mean, I won't take jobs for free anymore.
Okay, that's good.
Which I used to do.
Oh.
Just, you know, if somebody has a little short and they want a makeup artist and credit, etc., I would used to do that. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, you're past that.
Way past that. I feel like my skill set has, you know.
Yeah, it reflects that.
Strong value.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But it's always good to do that in the beginning.
What would you say is your biggest challenge in this role?
I mean, sometimes it's just like the long hours, honestly, and not getting enough sleep, but I make it work, and not seeing my dog.
Yeah.
Those are things that hurt me.
Yeah.
When I'm gone for so long. But honestly, I mean, as far as struggles in the job, like, it's all kind of always, it's always an adventure. I mean, yeah. The goal for me is to join the union and, like, just be a union makeup artist and keep working on films. And then I actually want to create and direct a project of my own.
Yeah. Can we go a little bit into the union? Or is it just, like, your basic gotta meet a certain amount of days, or?
Yeah, so for the union in Los Angeles, it's the 706 union for makeup artists. I'm on their roster because I have, you know, done a couple. I did one show that flipped to union. But basically, it's super crazy, and you have to have 60 days on productions for 3 years in a row. So 60 days for 3 years. So I'm almost there. I'm very, very close. And then it's just like a lot of, you know, having payroll send all these, like, your days to the union and interview and this and that. So, I mean, it's really confusing to me, but that's my goal.
Yeah. So, and I've talked about this before in a previous episode. So being on a show that flipped, is that hard to get into? Do you know that it's going to flip? Well, or?
I had no idea. When the show flips to union, during lunch, the union reps come and they post up outside, and like a few people start knowing. And I actually didn't really know what was happening. They're just like, this is a good thing. You want this to happen.
Okay.
I guess. For me, it was. Like, yeah. I got a lot of union days and got, you know, paperwork in the mail and stuff like that. But basically, they just come and they have these papers. And so each, you write your union number. So whatever department you're working in, every, like, as long as they get 50% or more of the crew to sign these papers, then the show flips. Oh, and so I think once that happens, it's just because, like, I think, I don't even actually know exactly how that happens, but I think somebody calls in and says there's all these things happening, and the show is, like, you know, it's pretty big. It was a really big production that we were working on that was non-union, but it actually flipped, and it worked out really well. I mean, the show ended up going to Cannes Film Festival and stuff, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Is it just one union, or is it, like, a bunch of unions there? Because there's obviously, like, PGA, DGA, and, like, the ones for Grips and G&E, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, like, I think, I don't.
If you don't know,
I'm really confused by the whole all of it, but I know that somehow it's like a little bit all connected, because you write your actual union number down on the card. So for me and my key makeup artist, I was the department head on the show. We both just wrote the 706 union, and that was, you know, and like signed our papers, and that was really it. So as far as like the rest of the crew, like, I really don't know. I'm sure they all put their separate unions. So
yeah.
I think it was like maybe one overall union representative who was like, like, I'm really not sure.
That's so, I've never, yeah, I mean, like, I've only worked on films, which, like, I've been wanting to work on some TV stuff as a producer, as, like, an associate producer, but, yeah, I guess that's just interesting to me. I've never heard of that until recently. But it makes kind of sense to me, like, how else are you supposed to get days counting towards your project if you need to be in the union to get on a union project? So it's like,
yeah, it's really weird. But you do just need like standard production days that are paid through a payroll system, and then the payroll system like will send those days.
Yeah,
so it's not too hard, actually. I've been booking enough film projects and little TV projects to get my days each year, but
nice.
Yeah, I'm just sort of waiting until I can join the actual union.
What would be the next step for you? Is it just joining the union? Or?
Yeah, just working as hard as I can and doing as many movies and as many shows that I can that I believe in and that want to be a part of. And I mean, yeah, joining the union would be amazing, but I really just want to make some really good movies and make some stuff that I'm really proud of. And I want to see, like, go to festivals and just, like, stuff that's moving that will, you know, can help people or change people or make them feel something really good. I mean, I think that's really the real end goal, is just like making really cool art with people.
Yeah,
honestly. But yeah, joining the union financially would be amazing. That's the financially goals. And then yeah, I want to create my own. I have a project of my own that I'm kind of creating and working on.
Do you want to talk about that?
I don't want to say any names because I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, I'm working on a show of my own, and it's just going to be really cool. And it's kind of incorporating like everything I learned in my role as a makeup artist on set. And I'm going to kind of channel all that and use that to create some of my characters. And I really want to direct this and make it something cool. It's a kid's TV show.
Dope.
And I'm really excited about it. So that's kind of a future project for me.
Yeah. Can we flip during production?
It's going to flip.
It's going to totally flip.
It's going to be the best thing.
No, I love it. If you could be in any other department on a film set, what department would you be interested in?
Oh, that's a really cool question.
Yeah. Okay. Or what role?
Well, so there's roles where I'm like it's just mind blowing, like the lighting.
Okay.
And
grip and electric.
Yeah, I just sometimes like I was taking pictures on set one time and I was like, man, they really lit this ship has such beautiful lighting, and I was like, oh duh, like we did this.
Like, yeah,
like we created this look, it looks beautiful. That, and then like, yeah, directing, I guess. I would love to be a director, but it's something I never knew until I was like really, really hands-on, like on set.
Yeah.
And feeling what it's like, and worked with some amazing directors, James Thomas being one of them, who I just worked with on the Shark movie. He's like just a really good person and like a really good director. So people like that, I just like learned so much from. And then the other female directors that I've worked with, I'm like, damn, like this is really cool. I love doing makeup and I love bringing my characters to life. And that's... Yeah. My job, but it's definitely something that kind of sparks my interest only for certain reasons.
Are there a lot of directors or like named directors that you can think of that maybe started off in makeup?
Honestly, I don't know. Right? I don't know too many makeup artist directors. I know actor directors.
Right. Producer
directors, but I don't know a lot of makeup artists. So maybe like I'm sure there's some, but yeah. I would love to like be that, but I want to always continue to do makeup, but I would love to work with like, you know, more and more people and bigger people. I love the connection between Tim Burton and V. Neil, and I just think that kind of relationship between a director and a makeup artist is just to me so beautiful and kind of timeless. Like,
yeah,
I really love the work that they do together and all the stuff she's done and the characters, like, oh my gosh.
Is she works on most of Tim Burton's films?
Yeah, she's worked on a really big handful of his films. Yeah. And she's also, you know, one of the most amazing makeup artists. She's like a judge on Face Off and all the crazy shows that they do. And there's another one that they just came out with, Game Face, I think it's called.
Okay.
But yeah, she's just phenomenal. And like a connection like that is something that I could only dream of.
Yeah.
Which achieving.
Kind of goes into my next question. Are there dream gigs, or are there specific people that you would want to work with?
Oh, she would be one of them.
She would be one of them.
But I think it would be like working with her like back in her like prime when she was more of like, you know, now she's really, really established and she's a judge and she's this.
Yeah.
But I think like working with her or somebody like her back in the day, like working on a movie like Edward Scissorhands or something, where like just the makeup and the costuming and the just everything about it is just to me so like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And just weird and just good.
Are there specific projects that you love being on?
Well, I mean, I just love being on any project that I'm on, like, because I just want to make the best of it and like make my work, you know, what it is for the project. So I love everything. I mean, I definitely wish that I had, you know, and I'm hoping for the future would come with some more stuff in that kind of vibe, like with the creepier, like I love to do sci-fi and kind of weird stuff like that. But I think honestly, it's very cliche, but Tim Burton is just one of my favorite directors as far as like the aesthetics and the makeup. I just think it's so beautiful and so strange. And I love stuff like that. So working on something like that would be like a huge dream.
When you watch movies now,
or Twin Peaks.
Or Twin Peaks? Okay, for sure. The new Twin Peaks that's out?
No, the old Twin Peaks.
Old Twin Peaks? Okay, gotcha. Whenever you watch movies now, do you see it differently than when you used to? Do you like see all the makeup?
I see all the makeup, but I see a lot of weird other stuff too. Oh, it's hard. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, do you know how long it probably took for all these people to get through their day watching this one scene? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, because they have to cut to them, and they cut to that guy, then they cut to that guy, and then they do the wide. And I'm like talking to my family or whoever I'm sitting with. I'm like, do you know how long this probably took? This was a 12-hour day for this scene. Like,
yeah.
Going kind of like crazy. But when it's something good, no. I mean, I do look at the makeup a lot.
Yeah.
When it's my own work, I think I look at it way, way too much.
Right.
And I get really overcritical where, like, I can't even watch the film or the project.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, but the way I don't watch it the same way.
Do you ever see something that you worked on and you're like either surprised or like disappointed in like the way it ended up looking?
I mean, there has been, unfortunately, one time where I had somebody want to use their own foundation and I just felt like it looked like their face was really orange, and with the lighting that they had, I was like, I knew it didn't look great. And yeah, I mean, there was times where something didn't look exactly right. This was one specific instance,
but yeah.
Most of the time I see stuff and I'm like, damn, that looks pretty good.
Good.
So
yeah.
I've usually been really like really happy with what I've done, but there's definitely been a time where I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not quite right, but it happens.
Okay.
You have to learn.
Right. And I mean, sometimes you can't even account for it. Like sometimes the way that they color it or some effect that they do can change the way that the makeup looks, I'm guessing.
Yeah, definitely. The lighting affects it. I mean, they kind of knew that their lighting was like making everyone look orange.
Yeah.
But this person in particular looked, you know, extra orange.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It falls on me and I don't like that. But...
But then they wanted to be comfortable with like the product or whatever.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
I know. I've learned from that to hold my ground. I know my job. So.
Yeah. Now you're going to be like.
At this stage in my career, I'm like, no, this is what we're doing. I'm going to take great care of you.
Yeah. Because you're like getting paid for this. Like you're the professional.
Of course. Yeah.
Totally. What do you think needs to be changed in the film industry?
I think that what needs to be changed, I've kind of touched on already as far as like people just being more like respectful and just coming into like making a project with more love and more just like a little more like kindness for other people. But also I just want to see more women like pursuing it and going hard and like doing what they love to do and not letting anything stand in the way, because I know that it's really hard and it can be really challenging, and I would love to see more female directors, and I think it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I realized recently, right now this year, of the projects that I've been working on so far, I'm only working with women directors so far.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome. Yeah, I love it.
Like, I mean, I've worked with two in my entire career, and that's a lot of projects.
Yeah.
And only two of them were directed by females. And I think that's just not good. I think women should be in a lot more power positions and a lot more, you know, just different roles on set.
Yeah.
And I've met some amazing women that do all kinds of jobs on set. And it's just like really inspiring. And like right off the bat, there's an immediate connection no matter what. And that's something I love, is like women have like a different level of respect for each other in the film industry. At least as far as I've been... I've never had any issues. It's just, it's all really like loving and really like caring, you know, for each other. Like, I brought you tea today, you know, because it's, you're not feeling well. It's like, we're here 12 hours. Like,
yeah, definitely.
So just being thoughtful, just being like, you know, just being nice.
It's so, I just never understand why that's not obvious.
Sometimes it's just not. And sometimes people are going through things and I don't know. People are just different, and it's a lot. So.
Well, so what would you say is your greatest strength?
I think my greatest strength would be like my ability to connect with people and see them like on a really deep level, and bringing that to like every job that I do, and like my love for makeup and my love for like making the film, I think brings a new level. And like, I love to just like, you know, I'm not like just like ripping people's hair and like going really hard. Like I really create and build like a relationship and a foundation. And I think that that's something that I think is like powerful, and just bringing like a lot of love and like care for everyone. And like, I think it's a really good strength that I have. Like it's a way, like I feel like very empathic and
nice.
I've always been like that. So it's like a thing that I think I bring to the table that is a little bit different, and I'm not the average, like, just, you know, makeup girl. I'm like super weird and
nice. Do you have do makeup artists typically have like reels or websites with like a
yeah, I mean, all kinds of stuff. It just depends. Really hard to like put aside time to like make all this stuff. But yeah. I mean, when I do have time, yeah, I have a website and I put little things together, but I don't really have a reel right now.
Okay.
I mean, I should.
Yeah.
It's just very hard. Like,
I mean, you're getting jobs, so.
Yeah, I generally book jobs just through like producers I work with. Like, I'll do a movie and then do a good job and then they'll hire me again. And then I'm just like on another movie. Like, it just kind of spirals.
Yeah. I mean, I worked with you last year and then this project coming up, I was like, you know what? I know of a great makeup artist and I called you.
Yeah.
And it worked. So, I mean, that's like proof in the pudding, I feel.
Yeah.
Cool. Me too. Do you want to make any plugs?
Well, the only thing I want to plug is the movie that I just worked on, which is called Megalodon, and it's coming out on Sci-Fi. And it's directed by James Thomas and produced by Kenny Prince. It stars a bunch of really awesome people, including Michael Madsen.
Oh, cool.
It's like a team project.
Yeah.
And it was just a really, really awesome project, and these people are amazing, and everyone, the whole cast and crew was just like super amazing. And I just want to plug that because it's coming out soon.
Awesome.
And that was great project to work on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending time and talking.
Yay.
This was so much fun.
Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.
Yay.